at the Strings conference also. But today, but actually what I was planning to do was to give you mostly about the background of basics aspect of topological string theory, which I thought could be useful for you to understand some of the things that will be said at the Strings conference. Well, I guess that anyway, all the talks at the Strings conference will be recorded and taped and be available on the web. So I hope it will be useful for you anyway. So this is topological string theory is kind of a tool to understand string compactification. On Calabi-Yau 3, giving rise to four-dimensional flat space. In the case of type 2, this gives rise to n equal 2 theory in four dimension. If you have grains on the top of each other, on the top of this, or fluxes, sometimes you can reduce the supersymmetry to n equal 1. So those are the situations that I'm interested in. And the topological string give you a method to compute certain low energy effective theory terms in such situation. I think that there have been a few talks about the string compactification in this kind of situation. I saw names of Paul Aspinwall and Becker. So those people might have told you a little bit about compactification. But for the purpose of setting up notation and perhaps reminding you of some aspect of it and perhaps giving some different perspective on it, let me first talk about compactification. Of type 2 string on Calabi-Yau 3-fold. Okay? And as I wrote over here, this gives rise to n equal 2 supersymmetry in four dimension. Okay? So first we need to understand what kind of particle you'll get in low energy. And so in low energy, of course, most relevant ones are massless particles. And they come in n equal 2 super multiplet. So you want to understand the massless super multiplet. OK. So obviously, you must have supergravity multiplet, because this has graviton in it. And you have n equal 2 supersymmetry, so you need to know what kind of particle that makes, that makes up a super partner of graviton in the context of n equal 2 supersymmetry. So you have graviton, and you have U1 gauge field, which I denote by A0. And it's, of course, a vector field. So if you have a vector index, mu goes from 0, 1, 2, 3. And then you have super partners, fermions. OK, so bosonic component of this n equal 2 supergravity is graviton and one gauge field. OK? And then there are various matter multiplets. And in the n equal 2 case, you have two types. One is called a vector multiplet. And as the name suggests, vector multiplet has a vector field in it. And then hypermultiplet, which has a pair of complex scalar fields. So let's start with a vector multiplet. So vector multiplet, each vector multiplet contains gauge field. And a complex scalar field. And there are several of them in general. So I'm going to distinguish that. I put some index here. I, and I goes from 1 to the number of vector multiplet, where this V denotes this vector. And you have a scalar field, and it is massless. So that means that it can have any complex expectation value classically. And that parameterizes the theory that the expectation value of the scalar field give you the, each expectation value of the scalar field give you particular theory in low energy. And therefore, if you like, the value of the scalar field parameterizes the moduli space of the compactification. So I denote that as MV. So this is a moduli space of this vector multiplet. This is parameterized by the vacuum expectation value of this Zi. I'm going to ignore this bracket symbol later. And depending on whether you are considering type 2A string or type 2B string, they have different geometric meaning. In the case of type 2B, this moduli space is nothing but the moduli space of complex structure. Of Carabiao. And in the case of type 2A, this is a complexified Kähler structure. Did Paul Aspinwall talk about those things? Yes or no? Yes. Yes? Yeah. I can't hear. Is a rough means yes? Thank you. That's consistent. Okay. So let's consider the case of type 2B. Okay, so the vector multiplet parameterizes the complex structure, so that we can try to count how many of them are there. In the case of type 2B, actually, NV is equal to H21, which is the dimension of the cohomology with two holomorphic components and one anti-holomorphic component. And so the reason for that is that for each element of H21, you have a particular direction of infinitesimal deformation of complex structure. You can also try to see, in the case of type 2B, how many gauge fields are there. Okay? So those, of course, come from various massless tensor fields in 10 dimensions. And in type 2B, you know that you know what kind of massless tensor field you have in 10 dimensions. In type 2B, you have two forms. Maybe I should use different symbol. MN. M and N are 10 dimensional vector index, like that. And you have four form, and et cetera. So this is two form. I put this somewhere here. So you have two form gauge field, four form. Six form, eight form, etc. And you can ask when some of that give rise to gauge field in four dimension. Well, if you start with two form in 10 dimension, in order to get one form in four dimension, you need to do something about one extra index because it has two indices, and you want to use one of them for vector. And you need to do something for the other one. You can do that if you have a non-trivial one cohomology. And but for generic Carabiao, H10 is equal to zero. So there is nothing that you can do. So this does not give rise to, so this is, this give rise to no gauge field. And on the other hand, four form can give you gauge field because you have non-trivial three forms in Carabial. And for each H element of H3, you can have one gauge field. So therefore, so for each element of H3, you can have a gauge field. So what you do is that, well, if you have element of suppose you have some three form like that. Then this is three form, and then you take one of the gauge field, and then you just tensor it. And this is four form, and that's four form in 10 dimension. So there is correspondence between four form in 10 dimension and gauge field in 3 dimension, as in 4 dimension via H3. Okay? But the thing about four form in type 2B is that it is self-dual. It is self-dual. By that, I mean that if you have four-form field, four-form potential, then you can take exterior derivative of that. So if this is four-form, you can take dA of that, and this is five-form. And in type 2B, the interesting, important thing in type 2B is that it is self-dual. So you can ask, what does this imply for this one? So what it means is the following. So in order to explain that, probably it is useful to introduce some parameterization of H3. So first, we need to know how many H3s we have. Okay. So in Carabial, you can decompose H3. Into this way. And the dimension of H30 is equal to 1. There is a unique holomorphic 3 form. Which is non-zero everywhere. This is an important characterization of Carabial space. So therefore, the real dimension of H3 is 2 plus 2H21. Because dimension of this and dimension of this is the same. Okay? And you can choose the basis of H3 to be so that you have A I and BI, these are three forms. And normalized so that they are orthogonal to each other. This is three form and this is three form, so you can integrate that over Carabial space. And you can normalize it in this way. And this is called symplectic basis. So for each of these, you have one gauge field. So naively, it looks like you have 2 plus 2H21 gauge field. If you don't have any constraint, then for each one of A or B, you have gauge field coming from 4 form in 10 dimension. However, 4 form in 10 dimension has self-duality property. So what it means is that the gauge field in 4 dimensions that come from this AI is actually dual to gauge field in 4 dimensions coming from this B. So if I write AI to be conjugate to this AI, so suppose this is four form in 10 dimension, and suppose you have another four form in 10 dimension constructed in this way. These are dual to each other in 10 dimension, so D of this is equal to D of that. Oh, okay. Right? And so this means actually that D, so this means that D of AI is star of D of BI. Namely, that this A and B are magnetic, electromagnetic dual to each other. So electric field of this A is magnetic field of this B and vice versa. So because of this self-duality, the gauge field coming from this A is not really independent of gauge field coming from B. So you only have to consider half of them. So with this, with all these considerations, we see that there are H21 plus 1 gauge field in four dimensions coming from four form in 10 dimensions in the case of type 2B. Okay. And in fact, this is the only source of gauge field in four dimensions. You can look up all possible massless fields in 10 dimensions and look for a way to get the gauge field in four dimensions, and this is the only way. Well, if you have one cycle, one homologically non-trivial one-dimensional cycle in Carabiao, there are other ways to get gauge field. For example, if you have a metric, then off-diagonal component of metric can give rise to gauge field. This is a standard Kaltenbrunner mechanism of generating gauge field. But Carabiao space does not have non-trivial one cycle, so that is not an option. Okay. So only all the gauge field in type 2B case are from Ramon-Ramon four form potential, and there are this many of them. This is half of the dimension of H3. The other half is electromagnetic dual to that. Okay. So that's one important thing. And another thing that I would like to note is that this is one too many compared to the number of massless scalar fields. So that means that H21 of them can pair up with H21 of them over here and give rise to the vector multiplet over here. Okay, so vector multiplet is contains gauge field and complex scalar field. And the complex scalar field in this case corresponds to complex structure moduli, and that nicely pair up with H21 of them. But you have one left over here. What do you do with that? Well, that you can use for this one. Okay? So you have, in fact, you have H21 gauge field over here, and then you have extra gauge field over here, and that's exactly H21 plus 1. Okay, so that's the gauge field over here. This gauge field has a name called graviphoton because it's a superpartner of graviton. So in the supergravity context, there is a separation of graviphoton and gauge field in the vector multiplet. But in geometric context, actually, it's more natural to combine them together because they are all the elements. They all come from same H3. Okay? So you see that somehow, from the point of view of gauge field, this separation is rather artificial, whereas from supersymmetry point of view, you have this kind of separation. So sometimes, in fact, in supergravity literature, they also find that it is actually useful to describe this gauge field in a more unified way. So what they do is the following. So we have a gauge field So in this lecture, I'm going to use this capital index I to go from 0, 1 to the number of vector multiplet, and this small I to denote actual, distinguish the actual number of vector multiplet. And in supergravity literature, they often introduce scalar field X0, which has as many number as vector field. But that is one scalar field too many. So what they do is to introduce this scalar field, but make one of them unphysical. So namely, that introduce a gauge symmetry that simultaneously scale all the X. Okay? So this is the same as saying that this X is actually a projective coordinate of the moduli space M. So, for example, we can set X0 equal 1 as a particular gauge, or we can use a ratio as a parameter or as coordinate of the moduli space. Okay? So, that is a structure, that is the structure of the supergravity multiplet and the vector multiplet. Now, there is one more type of super multiplet called hyper multiplet. And it consists of two complex scalars. And they are super partner fermion. And there are several properties, and well, there are several number of them, so I do not the number by n of h. First of all, they are all neutral with respect to this, all these gauge fields. They are not charged with respect to gauge field. And then, again, we have this complex scalar field. So you have this moduli space. And this moduli space has special geometric property called quaternionic scalar. And there is no charged coupling between gauge, because they are all neutral, so there are no charged coupling between hyper multiplet and vector multiplet. But there is also no neutral coupling between hyper and beta. I should say there is no neutral coupling. I should clarify what I mean by that. From purely supersymmetric point of view, you can have hyper multiplet which are charged with respect to gauge field in the vector multiplet. And in that case, there can be coupling between hyper and vector. What this statement just follows from supersymmetry, that the only possible coupling between hyper and vector are coming from the standard charge coupling. And it turns out that in this case, all the hypermultiplet are neutral. So therefore, they do not have, therefore, combining this statement that is specific to the Calabi-Yau compactification with this generic supersymmetry statement, one can see that there is no coupling between hypermultiplet and vector multiplet. This is true for any n equal to 2 theory. This is true for a generic Carabiao compactification. By generic, I mean compactification for Carabiao space that is smooth and compact. However, because of this, because there is no coupling between vector multiplet and hypermultiplet for generic smooth Carabiao compactification. So in that case, the moduli space would look like the moduli space of total compactification would look like product of hypermultiplet moduli space and vector multiplet moduli space. Because these are the only matrix scalar field you have. Massless scalar field you have either in vector multiplet or in hypermultiplet. Gravity multiplet does not have scalar field. And they do not interact with each other for generic Carabiao. So therefore, the vacuum excitation value would make the moduli space that is a tensor product like that. As I said, this is generic. However, this factorization can break down at specific point in moduli space. So for example, there is a some type of singularity called conifold singularity. Where some homology cycle in Carabiao shrink to a point. And in that case, so for example, you can have in type 2B string some 3 cycle collapsing to a point. And if that happens, then you can have D3 brain wrapping on this 3 cycle, whose mass becomes smaller and smaller as the cycle becomes small. And in the limit when the cycle shrinks to a point, you have a massless scalar field coming from this D3 brain wrapping on 3 cycle. And in the case of type 2B, that gives rise to hypermultiplet field. But that hypermultiplet field is charged with respect to this gauge field. Because remember that D3 brain is charged with respect to Ramon-Ramon 4 form. And Ramon-Ramon 4 form gives rise to vector field in 4 dimensions. So if you have D3 brain wrapping on 3 cycle, that is charged. So let me draw it. So suppose you have 3 cycle, and suppose you have D3 brain wrapping on this, then that is charged with respect to gauge field in 4 dimension. That comes from 4 form in 10 dimension. But 3 component of the 4 correspond to the 3 form that is dual to this 3 cycle. Okay? So if the cycle becomes small, the mass of this D3 brain becomes small. So if you are interested in low energy effective theory, what you do is you decide that, well, I'm interested in energy scale up to some energy, say, call it 100 MeV or TeV or whatever. And then if the mass of the D3 brain becomes lower than that, then you should include that in your low energy effective theory. And that D3 brain gives rise to hypermultiplet, but that is charged with respect to this vector. So that's a counterexample to generic state. So what this says is that if the Carabiao becomes singular and develop this kind of singularity, then this structure can break down. And so therefore, this is not true globally in the moduli space. This is true locally in the neighborhood of generic Carabiao space. And the fact that D3 brain wrapping on cycle in Carabiao give rise to charged particle in 4 dimension will be important later in this lecture. Okay. Is there any question so far? Yes. Right. Yes, that's true. No. That is not true. It depends on the complex structure. Probably I'll be able to show you what that is later when we discuss BPS state coming from deep brain wrapping. Okay. So, yes. Oh, okay. So let me tell you a little bit about where the hypermultiplet is coming from, if you like. So let me give you an example. So for example, in type 2A. Okay. So type 2A. So you have vector multiplet. In the case of type 2A, the number of vector multiplet is H11, and that corresponds to Kähler moduli deformation. In this case, hypermultiplet come the dimension of hypermultiplet is H21 plus 1. And this comes from two complex. So let me explain first this H21 business. So H21 is a dimension of H21, of course. And in the case of type 2A, so what kind of gauge field do you have? Well, first of all, if you have, for each element of H21, you have a complex moduli deformation. So that for each H21, it gives you one complex scalar. But in the case of type 2A, it also gives you a scalar field because you have Ramon fields. Okay? And in fact, you have Ramon three-form field. I'm using A for many things. So you can have Ramon three form A. So if you have H21, then you have three cycles associated to it. And then you can integrate A over this three cycle, and that gives you scalar field. But in fact, H21 is complex thing. So you have H21 and H12. So you can actually have complex valued scalar field out of Ramon 3-form. So you have one complex scalar field from Ramon field and one complex modulus for each H21. And that gives you this many hypermultiplet. Okay, and then I have to explain the business of plus one. And plus one comes from the following thing. So in the type 2A, first of all, well, in 10 dimension, you have Dilaton that controls the string coupling constant. And then you have NS2 form, B mu nu. Okay? And B mu nu is 2-form, but 2-form in 4 dimension is dual to scalar field because this is a field, this is not a field strength, this is a potential. So physically meaningful quantity is field strength D of B, which is 3-form. If you have 3-form, if you take dual in 4-dimension, it's 1-form. And because of equation motion, you can write it as derivative of scalar field. And then you get the extra scalar field. So NS2-form in 4-dimension give rise to scalar field, and it is called action. So you have dilaton and axion in four dimensions. That in NS sector. But we are considering type 2B, type 2A string. And type 2A string have Ramon-Ramon sector. And if you apply supersymmetry, any NS-NS sector scalar field have super partner in Ramon-Ramon sector. And that is a Ramon-Ramon field. And there is a super partner of Ramon-Ramon field that gives you two extra scalar fields. So this gives you one complex scalar field. And Ramon-Ramon field gives you another complex scalar field that gives you extra hypermultiplet. And this is called universal hypermultiplet. And actually, understanding geometry and dynamics of universal hypermultiplet is one of the most important open questions in understanding this type of compactification. And so if you are looking for a good problem to work on, this is one of them, which is a tough one. But it is difficult because it contains dilaton. So understanding that include understanding quantum corrections, quantum string stringy quantum corrections. So that makes this problem difficult. On the other hand, vector multiplet, so hyper understanding hypermultiplet in general is difficult because in it you have this universal hypermultiplet which contains dilaton. Vector multiplet is easier because it is decoupled to hypermultiplet, so that means that it is decoupled from the string coupling constant. So therefore, the quantum stringy quantum corrections are easy to handle. Okay? Any other question? Yes. Because G-string lives in over here, except at special point. Where, so near the conifold, for example, perturbative destruction can break down, for example. And there are such things, there are such effects that is known. So at generic point, they are decoupled. But there are important corrections that comes in near those singularities. Yes. Speak up. Now repeat the last sentence. Where? Oh, in the case of type 2B, okay, so that is left for your homework. You can just apply the mirror symmetry to this setup and then get an answer. Did anybody told you about mirror symmetry? No? Okay. That's a surprise. Paul asking you all didn't do that? Okay. So then I can tell you privately later. Unfortunately, I don't have time to do that. Okay, so what I was, oh yeah, yeah. So I was discussing type 2B. Okay, so what I was telling you is that in order to describe vector multiplet, well, you have to start with, you have a complex structure moduli. I go from 1 to NV. And that parameterizes vector multiplet moduli space. And but I said that it is actually useful to consider introduce a projective coordinate by introducing one extra scalar field. Okay, but there is actually a nice geometric description of this projective coordinate, and that is in terms of holomorphic three form. So omega is a holomorphic three form. And I apologize that I'm using the same index, ijk, to denote the index for the coordinate of the collateral space, but I ran out of indices. So this is three form. So let me hide it. So this is holomorphic 3 form. In Calabi-Yau space. And if you are interested in tangent space to the moduli space, there is one-to-one correspondence between the tangent space and the moduli space of complex structure and the deformation of holomorphic 3 form. Holomorphic 3 form is characterized by the fact that its derivative is equal to zero and the fact that all its components are holomorphic. Right? But what is holomorphic, of course, refers to the complex structure. If you change the complex structure, what basically it does is mix Z and Z bar. And if you mix Z and Z bar, initially this only have 3-0 component, but it start getting 2-1 component. So therefore, you can parameterize the deformation of complex structure by doing the deformation like that, where this eta I is an element of H21. The complex deformation is always of this form, because if you make infinitesimal deformation of complex structure, you mix Z with Z bar. Initially, this has 3Z components. And so therefore, infinitesimal deformation gives rise to one anti-holomorphic component, and that is H21. So any complex deformation can be parameterized as a linear combination of elements of H21. So therefore, you can choose the coordinate of complex structure moduli space in such a way that its small variation is a coefficient of this eta I over here. Okay. Now, in order to go to this projective coordinate business, it is useful to introduce a symplectic basis, which is sort of dual to this basis. So let's choose a basis of H3. Like that. Okay, so that A's do not intersect with each other, B's do not intersect with each other, and A and B intersect by one. Like that. Okay. And define xi by an integral of omega over this a cycle. Okay? So you can see that this is a sort of function of z, the complex structure, because given complex structure, you have holomorphic 3 form. And given holomorphic 3 form, it gives you x. Okay? And so, for example, if you change the complex structure by this way, then it changes x accordingly. Okay? But there is one thing we should be careful about. That is that there are one many. So I goes from 0 to h to 1. Z goes from 1 to h to 1. So there is one too many. And the reason for that is that normalization of holomorphic 3 form is not unique. You can change omega, you can multiply some complex number, complex constant number on omega, and it is, of course, still nice holomorphic 3 form. Normalization of holomorphic 3 form is not unique. So, in fact, there is a possibility of deforming omega in a direction proportional to omega, which does not change the complex structure. Excuse me. So, therefore, the normalization of omega is not parameterizing the complex structure. And if you rescale omega by in this way, x is also rescaled in this way. So it is only the ratio of x that carries the information about complex structure. And this is exactly the kind of property that we want for the projective coordinate. This is dangerous. Okay? So this shows that this, and then this gives you a particularly nice, this ratio gives you a particularly nice coordinate on the moduli space, which is called flat coordinate of the moduli space. Now, you might say that, well, I only used half of the period, A. What happened to the period for B? Well, omega is completely determined by complex structure modulo rescaling. So if you give me X, its ratio gives you complex structure, which in turn determines omega. So therefore, the integral of omega over B period should be determined by X, right? Because if you know the period of omega over A, it gives you a complex structure that determines omega. So in principle, integral of B over omega, integral of omega over B should be determined by integral of omega over A. So therefore, integral of omega over B cycle should be function of X. And it is particular function. It is a homogeneous function of X of degree one. Why? Because if you rescale omega by C omega, if you rescale omega by C omega, obviously Fi should rescale by one. But X also is rescaled by the same amount. And since Fi is a function of X, this is consistent only if Fi is a function, a homogeneous function of degree one. Moreover, there is an amazing fact, which is actually quite important for many aspects of the property of vector multiplet moduli space. That is that this is actually a derivative of a single function. Is a rather non-trivial statement, which I don't have time to prove. And this function f is called a prepotential. Okay, and obviously, since fi is a homogeneous function of degree one, fx is a homogeneous function of degree two. Okay, and you can also derive various important quantity, such as period matrix. Which is something similar to the period matrix that you are familiar with in property of Riemann surface. There, period matrix come from the integral of holomorphic one form over one cycle of Riemann surface. In Carabiao, you can ask a period integral of three form over three cycle of Carabiao, and that is given by this period matrix. And Yukawa coupling, CIJK, is given by three derivative of this prepotential. Okay, and in fact, the low energy effective action for vector multiplet, including its self-coupling and coupling to gravity, are completely determined by this prepotential. So, let me write it. At a tree level, at a string tree level, is completely determined. By display potential F, x. Okay. So this is a very important thing about the vector multiplet in n equal to 2 theory. And of course, this happens in many, this is used in many contexts. For example, Zeiberg-Witten solution to n equal to 2 Jahn mirrors, for example, was also using this fact that you only have to determine this free potential. Okay. So for example, a kinetic term for scalar field contains, is in general, contains non-trivial metric. So this is a four-dimensional kinetic term of scalar field. And this metric is determined by the prepotential. So it is determined in the following way, that this metric actually is scalar, so that means that it is given by two derivatives of a scalar potential like that. And this scalar potential is given by integral of holomorphic free form and its product, its conjugate, over Carabial space, which is roughly given by this quantity. In fact, you can derive this relation by going back to this definition of period and the fact that A and B cycles are symplectic like that and using Riemann bilinear identity. So this follows from Riemann bilinear identity. And this scalar potential can be used to derive the metric. So other terms in low energy effective action are completely determined at the string tree level. Okay. And great thing about this f of x is that actually it is computable. In 2B case, it is computable because computation is essentially classical geometric. That the setup is so that xi is an integral of holomorphic free form over A cycle, and the derivative of f with respect to xi is an integral of omega over B cycle. Okay, so once you know how to compute the integral of holomorphic free form over three cycles in Carabial, then you just have to solve this differential equation. Okay, and in fact, there is a very strong machinery of algebraic geometry to allow you to do this computation and reduce this integral computation to this to certain differential equation of hypergeometric type. So if you know how to solve this kind of differential equation, then you can integrate that, and this is completely classical geometric thing to compute the prepotential. And computing that, then you completely determine the low energy effective action for vector multiple. Do you have a question? So that's the rest of my talk. Thank you. So in the case of type 2A, the story is more complicated. So in the type 2A, the reason that this is so simple is the following. So in general, string theory is a complicated thing that you are dealing with something that that has size. You are probing the geometry of Carabial not by point. If you probe Carabial by point particle, then you get classical geometry like that. But you are probing Carabial by some extended object. So you'll be doing something like loop geometry rather than point particle geometry. And so that's the complication, one of the complications. But in the case of type 2b, it is actually simple. Because in the case of type 2b, vector multiplet moduli space contains complex structure. And hypermultiplet contains Kähler. And Kähler structure in particular contains the size of Calabi-Yau. So that means that in order to understand structure of complex structure, the size of Calabi-Yau can be arbitrary. And you can take size of Calabi-Yau to be as large as you like. And but on the other hand, size of the string is fixed. So that means that relatively speaking, the size of a string is effectively small compared to, can be taken to be arbitrarily small compared to the size of Calabi-Yau. That's why the type 2B computation reduced to the classical geometry. But you cannot do that in type 2A because the situation of hypermultiplet and vector multiplet is reversed. So now if you are interested in a vector multiplet moduli, then you are talking about Kähler moduli space geometry. So you cannot take Calabi-Yau size to be large because that would be just looking at the boundary of this space. So if you are interested in the structure of vector multiplet moduli space in the interior, then you'll be faced, you have to study, excuse me, you have to study finite size effect, the effect due to the fact that string size is finite. And so this leads to various interesting effects. So there are intrinsically stringy corrections to this f of x, and this leads to the discussion of Gromov Witten invariant. And mirror symmetry. Okay, that I don't have time to discuss. But these are kind of ideas that you use to control stringy world sheet instanton effects that you need to. But there is now very strong machinery developed by mathematicians and physicists to handle this computation. So as far as string tree level is concerned, therefore, the vector multiplet interaction are completely under control by these kind of methods. Okay, any question? Yes. Yeah, so hypermultiplet is complete mystery. And not much is known about that. Of course, at tree level, you can just substitute the hypermultiplet field in 10-dimensional supergravity action and obtain low energy effective theory action. But that will be applicable only for part of the hypermultiplet moduli space where the string coupling constant is small. And since hypermultiplet field contains dilaton, so the property of hypermultiplet interaction in the regime when the string coupling constant becomes small is very problematic. And so I think that So in some cases, for example, you can use string duality and things like that to understand, to probe these regions. But I think that we need to understand much better about this. Okay, any other question? Okay, so I'm more or less done about the Calabi-Yau basic thing about Calabi-Yau compactification. So what I want to tell you is that how this story can be generalized to higher string loop corrections, what kind of low energy effective theory term that you can compute for vector multiplet, and how you use it. And so I will discuss a situation in which the computation of such term becomes useful. Okay. So one was compactification. Of type 2 on Calabi-Yau. And so now the second thing I want to tell you about is some formal theory of topological string. So I would like to tell you about some mathematical definition of topological string and some of its basic property. Okay? So I'll be talking about f of g of z, that is a g loop topological string amplitude. Which is sort of generalization of free potential. In fact, this is defined in such a way that f of g equals 0 is f, the free potential. That we talked about. Okay? And topological string amplitude is defined in the following way. So let's consider type 2 string, and let's consider it in the RNS formalism. So that means that we have left moving boson and fermion, right moving boson and fermion, and ghost. And if you put it on Carabiao times flat space, then from Carabiao type part, you get n equal to 2 superconformal field theory corresponding to the map of Riemann surface to the Carabiao space, and then tensored with four-dimensional vector field, four-dimensional field, the two-dimensional field that maps Riemann surface into four-dimensional Minkowski space, and ghost. And the topological string computation focuses on this aspect. It turns out, yes? Yeah, so that's a good question. So it will turn out that f of g will be homogeneous of degree 2 minus 2g. So when g equals 0, it's homogeneous of degree 2. One loop amplitude is completely homogeneous of degree 0, for example, etc. Okay, so we'll be focusing on this part of the two-dimensional field theory. Okay, and this is n equal to superconformal field theory. So that means that you have energy momentum tensor and a pair of supercurrent and the U1 current for left mover. And so I'm talking about wall sheet left moving or right moving component. I'm assuming that you are familiar with some basic concept of two-dimensional conformal field theory after 2.5 weeks of summer school on string theory. Is rough yes or no? Now, this conformal field theory has a central charge 9, so that the total anomalies, conformal anomalies cancel. We often use C hat, which is third of C, which is 3. Okay, now in order to define topological string theory, we perform what is called topological twist. Okay, so there are various ways to describe a topological twist. One is that we just change the definition of energy momentum tensor. So I just declare that this is a new energy momentum tensor that I'm going to work with. But this is a bit too algebraic. It's not clear what exactly it means. And another way to do it is to introduce equivalent way to state it is to introduce a new interaction on the wall sheet. of this form. Where omega z bar is a spin connection. Omega z bar is a spin connection. On the worksheet, so that D of omega is a Riemann curvature on the worksheet. It is easy to see that these two are equivalent, because roughly speaking, spin connection is one derivative of metric on the worksheet. And energy momentum tensor is basically given by variation of action with respect to the metric. So if you add this extra term, it will modify the definition of energy momentum tensor. And since omega, the spin connection, is one derivative of metric, so variation of this will give you one derivative of J, and this is this effect. Okay? And this will give, this will change the dimension, spin content of various fields. So for example, here you have energy momentum tensor and G plus and G minus and JL. And energy momentum tensor has two holomorphic component and zero anti-holomorphic component. This is spin 3/2 field because these are supercurrent. And this is spin 0/1. This is before you perform the topological twist. After you perform the topological twist, their dimension changes. So after topological twist, energy momentum tensor has dimension 2/0 as before, because that operation does not change the dimension of energy momentum tensor. But G left plus get dimension 1/0, and G left minus get dimension 2/0. Or 2/0, 1/0. Depending on whether you choose plus sign here or minus sign here, depending on the sign here, you get either these dimensions or these dimensions. And interestingly, the central charge for this energy momentum tensor initially was 3, but becomes 0 after topological twisting. So this is interesting because you know that when we define string theory, you work hard to make the total conformal anomaly to be equal to 0. And so that you can have nice integral of a moduli space of Riemann surface without worrying about Liouville mode. And here, we see that after you do the topological twisting, you get total central charge equal to 0 without introducing extra ghost or anything. So you can define string theory by itself, by just looking at this particular subsector. So that's the topological string. Yes. The algebraic structures are the same, except, well, it depends on what you mean by preserve, because conservation of energy momentum tensor is just a statement that this is equal to 0, right? And that is not modified by adding this term. So all the currents here are still holomorphic, so therefore conserved in that sense. If you by preserve you mean conserve, then that is what this is. Since you are arranging generator of the algebra, of course the algebraic structure is apparently changed. So for example, previously, if you compute operator product of GZ, G plus and G minus, Well, let me do the following thing. So, for example, you can see this in the following way. So let's first, before we go into that, I need to tell you that because of, since you can choose the sign to be here to plus and minus, so there are various different topological string, topological twists that you can make. You can have plus sign or minus sign for left mover, but you can also choose plus or minus for the right mover. So there are, in fact, four possible choices. So there are four types of twisting, which I can denote as A, B, A star, B star. Depending on whether you choose plus or minus over here. But actually, two of them are CPT conjugate to each other, which is why I denoted with stars. So essentially, you have two independent twisting. And depending on whether you choose plus or minus, I get these different signs. So to simplify the discussion, let's choose a I haven't told you which generator is a plus or minus. So let's choose a convention so that G plus is always dimension 1, 0, and D minus is always dimension 2, 0. OK, and so let's do that. And also, let's choose a convention so that the right moving G plus is dimension 0, 1, and the right moving G minus is dimension 0, 2. OK, so so these are, since these are one form, so we can introduce charge with respect to them. We can integrate one form over a cycle, and that gives you charge. And this Q is nilpotent. That comes from the original n equal 2 superconformal algebra. Since you have a nilpotent charge, it looks like BRST charge, so I denote it as BRST. And this has also interesting property that if you compute commutate of this BRST charge with G minus, it gives you this new energy momentum tensor. This is what you get is actually what I denoted as T prime, which is equal to 1/2 original energy momentum tensor plus derivative of J. But I defined this as the new energy momentum tensor, so I eliminated. So this is what I meant by change of algebraic structure. So in the original algebra of n equal 2 supersymmetry, we have this kind of structure. And I just said by, I just defined this as new energy momentum tensor, T prime. And then, after we get used to this notation, I remove prime. And so I'm just rearranging the generator. I'm not modifying either algebra or any conservation property. OK, but if you look at this equation, then you see that this is exactly like the property of BRST ghost in bosonic string. BRST anti-ghost, B, is introduced exactly so that its anti-commutator with BRST operator give rise to energy momentum tensor. So this suggests that we can define G loop string amplitude by doing the following thing. Where eta I is a Bertrami differential. And this bracket means that we'll be integrating product of Bertrami differential with a supercurrent over Riemann surface. Okay. So this is a very standard formula that I hope you agree, that if this G are anti-ghost B, then this is exactly the formula for G-loop partition function of bosonic string that any graduate student who claim to be studying string theory should know. I'm just replacing that B by supercurrent G minus. Okay? This is actually, it is actually rather interesting that this formula, this expression makes sense only when C hat is equal to 3, which is exactly the situation we have. Because in general, this kind of topological twisting gives rise to wall sheet ghost number anomaly. And that anomaly is canceled by insertion of this many operator G minus exactly in the case of C hat equals 3. In general, for general value of C hat, instead of 3G minus 3, in order to cancel the ghost number anomaly, not ghost number, fermion number anomaly, you have to introduce C hat times G minus 1 of these supercurrents. And it is only when C hat is equal to 3 that you can exactly cancel this 3G minus 3. Of course, as you know, that this 3G minus 3 comes from the dimension of the moduli space of Riemann surface. And it is a rather fortunate coincidence that this 3 is related to the 3 of the C hat of this conformal field theory, which is the dimension of the Carabiel. So this is engineered exactly so that we can use this. So this makes sense only when the target Carabiel space is 3 complex dimension, exactly in the case that we are interested in. Ah, yes, so this is for left mover, about the same formula exists for right mover as well, because total BRST charge is sum of G plus left and G minus, G plus left and G plus right. Okay, so how much time do I have? 10 minutes? 8? Are you sure? Look like I have 9 minutes in my clock. Okay, so are you sure that you want to eat lunch? Okay, so I have to skip something that I was prepared to tell. So I wanted to tell you that this F of G is naively a homogeneous function of degree 2 minus 2g. And in order to tell you, I have to say a few things. One is that Fg depends only on the vector multiplet moduli and not on hypermultiplet. So for example, in the case of type 2B compactification, it depends, in the case of B model, it depends only on the complex moduli and not on scalar moduli, et cetera. But also depends in this kind of specific way. Okay? I don't have time to tell you about that. Okay. But there is one thing perhaps in the remaining 7 minutes or so, I want to tell you that is rather important for something that I'm going to tell. I will tell you next. That is that the following property. So. So we can compute F of G in this way. And there is one thing that you notice from the property that I just mentioned over there. That is that overall scaling of X is like inverse of a coupling constant. So for example, you can write F of G, so it depends on X, but you can, for example, take out X naught and write it as 1 over X naught to 2G minus 2 times FG of the ratio of X and X naught. And as I said earlier, X is a homogeneous coordinate, so the ratio, it is a ratio that is a nice function of the moduli. And then on the top of that, we have this function. So you can regard, and then it is power of 2g minus 2. So that means that you can regard 1 over x0 as string coupling constant. Okay, so that will be important later. Yes? Well, so type 2a, so this is valid for both type 2a and type 2b. But you have to change the definition of g plus and g minus, et cetera, appropriately. And then you can. Right, so this is true. So for example, if you are in A model, then the vector multiplet moduli is scalar moduli space. And so then this is the, right. Okay. So that's one thing that I wanted to tell you. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is that so the following thing. So let's consider the sum over this topological string amplitude. We may consider multiplying the coupling constant here, but actually we don't have to do it. This is sort of redundant because lambda can be absorbed into overall scaling of X. So let's just not sum over it. And if you are interested in computing partition function, you can consider exponentiating it. And one thing I wanted to tell you was that this partition function psi is naturally associated to quantization. Of H3 in the case of B model. There is an analogous statement in the A model, but I will not be able to explain that as simple as this one. So, but I guess I don't have enough time to explain what this really means. So let me not. Perhaps I will come back to that in the next lecture. So yeah, I guess I should stop now. So is there any question? Okay.